Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, the beginning of the Old Testament there, before you come to the Psalms. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, and verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. So we find in this fourth chapter a list of families from the tribe of Judah. And this man Jabez is our interest this morning in verses 9 and 10 I read. And although there's much speculation about this man, for example, possibly a city was named after him, we don't really know much about him other than what we read in these few verses here before us this morning. And we see here in these few verses some things. It's only a few verses, but we can glean much of it. In that first verse, the ninth verse, in the ninth verse, it speaks of him being more honorable than his brethren. And it also mentions his name and the meaning of his name, possibly signifying a difficult birth, because I bear him with sorrow. And then in the next verse, we find his prayer, the prayer of Jabez. This prayer stands out in this chapter. As we see there in verse 10, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And that prayer truly does stand out. It's a remarkable prayer. Now, some think it might be a vow to God, and similar to the vow of Jacob made at Peniel, where Jacob said, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go," and then he adds his own promise, "then shall the Lord be my God." And so possibly Jabez here was saying, if you bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, if your hand is with me and keep me from evil, then. But of course, the promise is missing. It's not there. Matthew Henry, that well-known commentator, said, "It's as if Jabez left a blank paper for the Lord to write on whatever he pleased." Matthew Henry went on to suggest those words, as if Jabez says, "Lord, if thou wilt bless me indeed and keep me," and so on, "do what thou wilt with me, and I will be at thy command and disposal forever." In other words, "Lord, if you bless me and keep me, do what you want with me, and I will be thine forever." But then again, these words might be a prayer, just as they read in the text before us, where Jabez calls on the God of Israel. And we note that it's not a given. It's not on any other God he calls. He calls on the God of Israel and prays, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." Well, even if it was a vow, there's a prayer in it. And we shall look at this prayer as a prayer this morning. And then we read the response of God, "And God granted him that which he requested." Well, I'm sure you agree, it's all very good. The prayer is good. And the answer is so immediate and so lovely. And God granted him that which he requested. So simply, it follows, and God granted him that which he requested. I'm sure you would agree, this is the prayer of a Christian man, and more than that, a godly man. But also we might see this as a prayer, which is a complete prayer, and the prayer of his life, covering everything, covering the request for grace to be saved, and also grace upon grace, the whole of life. In other words, he prays to God, save me and also bless me all my days. Save my soul and bless me and keep me all my days. And this prayer speaks to us this morning, the beginning of this year, still the beginning of the year. And it might be a prayer for this year and also all of life from this moment onwards. It's certainly a prayer for a new beginning. So let's consider these things this morning in a gospel way. And start with the difficult upbringing of Jabez. Now, we don't know exactly why his mother called him Jabez. She says, of course, we are told what she thought, that it was because she bore him with sorrow. That could have been, of course, a difficult birth, but also it could have been some circumstance of sorrow in her life, which made a heavier heart at the time of his birth. Sometimes children are born during some time of trouble, and the day of their birth marks that sorrow. We link in our minds that sorrow. Oh yes, a child was born then in the midst of that difficult time. It also might also represent the whole upbringing. There's an implication here in the words that follow, that his whole upbringing was difficult and had sorrow, and which might be appropriate for some here this morning, that you've had a difficult upbringing, or that you are in some difficulty even now, and this marks your life, and you think of sorrow and difficulty surrounding you. And so this text might be a text for you this morning. But also note, go on the same theme, that it says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And that again speaks of a difficulty surrounding him, not only about his birth, and maybe also more than that, but also his very brethren, his siblings, his family, that he was more honorable than them, which suggests they were dishonorable, perhaps, or at the very least less honorable. It certainly speaks of difficulty and no examples around him that he was, by God's grace, quite different. Well, we know the world, don't we? We know this dark and wicked world. It seems to us it gets darker and darker, more wicked and more wicked, but it's always been wicked. It is a wicked world, whether on the surface or in secret. It is a wicked world. And it's true, we are born into different circumstances. Jabez into a difficult circumstance. With some, of course, they can have many advantages. Godly parents, they can say with the psalmist, that the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. Not so with everybody. And some indeed have a dreadful upbringing. And these difficult and dreadful circumstances, you would think, would drag a man down and certainly take them away from the Lord. But you know, it's not necessarily the case. Such is our gospel. Our gospel is made for such situations and such people. And Jabez speaks to us of such a case. Your situation might be difficult. You might have much sorrow in your life. But my dear friend, Jabez was in that situation too. And God had grace upon him, and he rose out of those difficulties and was blessed by God. And so note these difficulties. Compare them with yourselves and your situation. But note what happens to Jabez. And take heart this morning as we look at this man rising from difficulty. We see that he was more honorable, and his prayer stands out in this chapter. He arises from difficulty. Well, the Lord might give you this prayer of Jabez. The Lord might give you the grace of rising out of your dire circumstances and the grace of making you more honorable than your brethren. That all those around you, and it's so often, isn't it? People say, I'm the only Christian in my family. And not just that, all my family was so difficult. My surroundings, my neighborhood were so dreadful, yet God had grace upon me. And such is the case here, and such might be your case this morning. You see, the Lord delights in such cases. It is a trademark of the gospel. He does not save the righteous. He saves sinners. He has pity on the poor and needy and saves people out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and sets them upon the rock. It's always true, but sometimes it's seemingly more true with the circumstances of our lives. Well, I call upon you now to be a Jabez and to pray like Jabez. Note now his prayer. Follow this man in his prayer, my dear friend, and pray like him. And so we note to begin with, there in the middle or towards the end of verse 10, keep me from all evil. It's part of his prayer. Now, these words, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, seems to be a play on the meaning of his name. In the actual original, there is a kind of use of the name of Jabez and a kind of a rhyming, you could say, and a play on the words. And as if Jabez is really saying, may I not know the sorrow implied in my name. May I not know the sorrow implied in my name, speaking of my circumstances and my environs. What would be the sorrow? Well, we mentioned it. Of course, it could be the circumstances of his family, his surroundings, and whatever the events were at that time. But you know, not far from this tender prayer, the spirit of this tender prayer, would be a request to be kept from the sins of his own heart. I mean, here is a man who is godly. As he uses these words, no doubt, it wasn't just the externals he was thinking about, but also his own heart. If he was to be saved from his situation, he had to see his own heart. And it could well be he was praying, Lord, save me from myself. Because you see, in the end, whatever our circumstances around us, what will damn us will be the evil and sorrow of our own hearts. You will not be damned for the evil and sorrows of others around you or your circumstances, but you will be damned for your own sin. You are responsible for your own sin. And it could well be that Jabez was praying, Lord, save me from myself. You see, you need to be saved from yourself. How do you know yourself? Are you not afraid of your heart? Does not your heart frighten you? Oh, I know. Very often we go from day to day and we might be quite happy with our lot and quite content and even think well of ourselves. But sometimes we see our heart, don't we? Sometimes we fall into some trouble and sin and our hearts frighten us. How can I tame my heart? How can I restrain my sinful heart? This heart is a lion which will devour me. What should I do with my heart? Then pray with Jabez, keep me from the evil of my heart and the sorrows they bring. And they do bring sorrows because sin leads to judgment. Well, we'll see again in a minute how we can be saved from our sins. But let's continue with a prayer. And this lovely expression in the middle of verse 10, and that thine hand might be with me. That's a good request, isn't it? And that thine hand might be with me or upon me, might be with me. And I think this speaks not only of the whole of life, but but also of the moment of life when we know the Lord and are saved. It's a comprehensive element here to this prayer, but also it is specific as well. We have a whole life view in this request, and also the saving moment, the center point of our lives, the turning point of our lives, the turning point of our lives, my friend. How important it is to have a saving moment and a turning point of our lives. But first of all, the whole view of life. You see, we see people in the church come to hear the gospel. They make professions. They say, I believe in Jesus Christ. And then they might continue for some time. Then we can't find them anymore. Others make no profession for a long time. Perhaps children in the church or those who are faithful to church services, they make no profession. And then at the end, or near the end, they believe. What do we make of it all? Well, for one thing, we are very interested in the whole view of life, because here we find reality, not reputation, but reality. The whole view of life and how it ends is so important. And all I would say to you is this: whether you come to the Lord in your youth or later in life, you just want God's hand to be upon you, that at the end, you might know you are saved and are saved. That is it, isn't it? At the end, you know you are truly saved. I often say to parents regarding their children, you know, yes, of course, we want a conversion experience. But I often express it this way: may God's hand be upon them all of their life, that at the end they might be saved. They might profess in the middle or the beginning. I want to know how they end. Are they saved? Our professions can be very light and like the mist and disappear. We want something which is of the Lord. Now, of course, we can be saved at the beginning and it can continue. It might have some struggles, but be true at the end. All we want is a true conversion, that at the end we might be saved and God's hand is upon us all of our lives, so that at the end we might be saved and truly saved. Surely, my friend, is that. It's not about reputation and saying, I've been saved, although that must happen. We'll come to that now. But you want that to be true and genuine, wherever, whenever it takes place, so that at the end we might be truly saved. But none of that takes anything away from the need of the hand of God to be upon us in this saving moment, this turning point of our lives. And so this hand of God in this saving moment, oh, this blessed moment, this blessed spot perhaps, if you were saved in a meeting, you can point to the spot, there I was saved. Or perhaps to a period of life, then I was saved. It matters not. That's God's choice for you and your life. But that blessed spot, that blessed period, leads your heart from sorrows to the cross of Calvary. That's what it does. It is a place where you find Calvary in the cross of Christ. It's a place where you find Christ. It begins and it comes to completion, sometimes very quickly, sometimes over time. In some ways, it's always over time, because even if you can point to the day when you believed, there's much behind that, and God preparing your heart and leading you, and God's hand upon you, leading you to that day. Or it might be over a period, and God's hand is upon the whole period. Is it not? And he brings you to Christ. And in the end, does it really matter whether it is in one meeting or over a whole year or so? You are brought to Christ, the blessed Savior of the world and the Savior of your heart. Well, let's go on with this prayer. And there we also find, halfway through verse 10, and enlarge my coast. Now, certainly, Jabez may have been praying for some material blessing, perhaps some victory over the Canaanites to expand his territory. But quite consistent with this tender prayer will be the enlarging and the increase. which are internal and spiritual and of the heart. Psalm 119, verse 32, uses a similar phrase, but focuses on the heart. Here we have the words of Jabez, enlarge my coast. But there in Psalm 119, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And so our hearts grow and expand. So God's hand is upon our heart here now. If we continue with the previous expression we considered. And as God's hand is upon our heart, he enlarges our heart. And so we truly repent of sin and truly believe in Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what happens, my friend. God's hand is upon your heart and enlarges your heart, enlarges your coast. And so this narrow and mean heart, who could see no sin, this narrow and mean heart, could not be moved to sorrow ever. Oh, we know that's true, don't we? Oh, the utter hardness of the human heart. Or maybe moved for a brief moment by a hymn, but remaining settled in hardness. We know the narrow and mean hearts we have. And also we know our narrow and mean hearts could not see Christ on the cross and truly see him and believe. Or we could understand it intellectually perhaps and even be moved sentimentally, but not spiritually. That needs the enlarging of the heart and the hand of God upon your heart. And see here, as we think of this enlarging of the hearts and God's hand upon us, what heavenly powers enter in, and that is salvation, my friend. God's hand is upon you. He enlarges your heart, and you repent and believe truly. True repentance and true belief, and nothing can beat it. Nothing can beat true conversion. It's God who enlarges the heart, enlarges the coast, and brings our heart to see our sin, and brings our heart to see the Savior of sinners, and to commit, and to believe. Oh, tender moment, but also mighty moment as well. Oh, it's a special moment, a saving moment. But then we come to the conclusion of our consideration of this prayer. And go back to the first part of his prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. I have to say that phrase has gripped my heart. I love those words. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. The words are full of God and full of heart. Do you not pray like that this morning? Oh, God, bless me indeed. There's a sense here of the heart enlarging and crying out to God, oh, bless me indeed. And bless me now and save me. And bless me all of my life. My friend, you have this one soul and this one life. May God bless it. May God bless it in a saving moment. May God bless the whole of your life, that you might be truly his and truly saved, and that at the end of life, the evidence, the assurance is all there that you are the Lord's. You have believed in Jesus Christ. And this is the prayer of life. Without this prayer, there's nothing, my friend. We shall die in our sins. Our life is nothing. We might become famous and be on some page, on some magazine or some newspaper, or known in the area and have a reputation. It is nothing. It is nothing. It is worse than nothing, because we shall die in our sins. You need the Lord. Oh, bless me indeed. There's an emphasis there. Oh, bless me indeed, O Lord. Is this not the cry of the heart? Do you recognize the words? Can you identify with these words? These are the words of my heart. It's not like a casual request, oh God, bless me, or a selfish request, may all things go for me, but rather it's a cry to God himself, oh, bless me indeed, oh, bless me indeed. And here we have a moment in Jabez's life. He prayed this prayer, And you need this moment. My dear friend, you need a moment when you pray like this. And have you prayed like this? Then pray like this. Pray like this. That God might enlarge your heart. And God's hand might be upon you. And out of your heart comes these words, "Oh God, bless me indeed. Enlarge my heart, keep me from evil, keep me from my own heart, save me, and keep me to the end, that I might be truly saved, might be the Lord's." Do not consider your place in this world, this wicked world. Do not consider the God above who's made all things. Then understand that your soul is in a wicked world and God is there and the Savior has been sent into this world to save, and now is above on the right hand of God, triumphant, completed the work of salvation. And there you are in this wicked world, that you might believe in Jesus Christ and know God, the maker of all things, the maker of the world. But then note, at the very end, verse 10, "And God granted him that which he requested." Well, perhaps this is the most important part of this verse and of this prayer. "And God granted him that which he requested." Jabez prayed, God answered. My friend, have you prayed is a question. Has God answered is another question. And of course, it is so important that God has answered. I will say this though, if you have prayed, God has answered. I am confident in that, because God is faithful to save all who call upon his name. But it's a question for you to ask yourself, has God answered? If he has not answered, you have not prayed. But my dear friend, come back to this matter. Has God granted your request? Isn't that the matter? Or do you satisfy yourself, well, I prayed? It's not enough. Just to be satisfied, I've prayed. Who are you to be the judge of that? God is the judge of that. Oh, pray, pray. May God's hand be upon you and enlarge your heart. And you might pray, oh, bless me indeed. Save me from myself and my sins. Save me truly through Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, took away sins, all that my sins might be placed on him. I might be counted in the number of the redeemed, that I might be saved. Understand, my friend, are you in Christ or without Christ? To be without Christ is to be outside of God and in this wicked world. To be in Christ is to know God and to have him. Oh, and then what tenderness, what relationship, what blessings, what intimacy, or what grandeur and majesty, but also what nearness, that we are near and draw nigh through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, you see, takes away our sins and opens the way to God. Our sins will indeed cause us sorrow and will drag us down and will damn us indeed, unless we have a Christ who went to that cross and suffered the curse in our place. My dear friend, you need the answer. Have you had the answer? We put many applications in, don't we? Are you satisfied that you put the application in? And time goes on and there's no answer from that authority? Well, of course you're not happy, you're not satisfied. You want the answer. I must have the answer. Well, may God grant your request. And you might know in your heart, I am saved. And the Holy Spirit might say to you, you're washed, you're saved. And you will experience the peace of sins forgiven. It is everything. It is so important. Oh, this prayer of Jabez. There he rises out of the dirt, and the dust of the world and rises to God. May you rise out of this wicked generation. You live in a wicked generation, a wicked world. May you rise out of it and be saved through Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Oh, bless me indeed, O Lord. Oh, bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And you shall be blessed through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray for the answer to our prayers, the granting of our request. Oh, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coasts, enlarge my heart. Thy hand might be with me, and that I might be kept from evil, the evil and the sorrows of my heart, that these things won't blight me all of my sad life, but I might know in the midst of this wicked world and the sadnesses of my life, grace and salvation. And there, O Lord, I might be able to rise through Christ. We ask these things, O Lord, through our Saviour, to the glory of God. Hear us indeed, we pray, O Lord, hear us, we ask. Amen.